God is good, and all the time. We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And what a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord singing praises to God. If you're a visitor with us, we extend a special welcome to you and encourage you. If you'd like to know more about our church, you'd like to know about opportunities throughout the week, please fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You can find those on the back of the pew in front of you. There is also there a prayer card. We really encourage our members to share both their prayer needs and the praises that are going on in their life. We have a team of faithful prayer warriors who will look over those, and our deacons meet every Sunday as well in prayer to lift up the needs and the concerns of the church. I also have another praise we want to share publicly, and if you've been upstairs and look down into our courtyard, or perhaps you never even knew we had a courtyard, what we do, and now it looks a lot nicer. We're very excited about David Farnham's Eagle Scout project that he's been working on and continues to work on, making a space there in the courtyard for activities and for worship, for fellowship. As you leave today, you may want to peek through the door right there to the left, right outside our sanctuary, and see what's going on out there. A little bit later on, when all things are completed, I think we'll have a time of prayer and dedication for that space, that God might use it. Also celebrating today that tonight we resume our Sunday evening activities with opportunities for youth and children as well as adults. We also believe very strongly that fellowship is a core value of the Christian life. And if we only gather on Sunday mornings, we're not being as Christian as we could be. Especially not being as Baptist as we could be, because we Baptists believe in eating. So don't forget that tonight at 5, our fellowship meals resume. We have those once a month, and it's just a good time to gather around the tables together. A lot is going on in the life of our church. We encourage you to stay attentive to that and be as involved as you possibly can.
I hope you were able to pick up a Salmon Coach sheet as you came into worship this morning that has some of the highlights for things coming up in the next couple weeks. One thing I did want to make you aware about is one slight change to our calendar for this week. Obviously, our prayers are with all those that are in the path of Hurricane Irma. I just saw just a report a few minutes ago that there are millions without power in the Miami-Dade area already. So please keep the west coast of Florida, the state of Florida, in your prayers, and wherever the track takes place. Now, from our latest news, it looks like North Carolina will not be harmed as much as initially was thought. However, we are going to have some kind of weather Monday evening and Tuesday. And so because of that, just to be safe, we are going to postpone our senior adult luncheon that was originally scheduled for this Tuesday, bump it back a week to next Tuesday. So just make yourself aware of that. The sign-up sheets are out there in the vestibule in the Sunday school classes. You're welcome to sign up if you need a change. If you want to, are able to come or not able to come now, just please make yourself aware of that. So that is one small change to the calendar for this upcoming week. Again, our hearts are in prayer for those in the path of recovery from Hurricane Harvey, those in the path of Hurricane Irma, and just continue to lift up those in prayer as they experience these this horrific hurricanes. As we reflect on that, as we reflect on what God is calling us to do, may we turn in Scripture to our opening Scripture reading, which is Acts chapter 6, reading verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version this morning. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, you have called each one of us to be followers of you, to be disciples of you. And Father, we are reminded and reflected of this in the scripture passage today. And Father, we are recognized too that many are set aside to serve the body of Christ. And this morning we gather on this special day for deacon ordination as we seek to recognize one of those who have been called. Father God, we just lift up not just John Farnham, who will be commissioned later on in worship service today, but we lift up all those, each one of us who've been called to serve you, to serve the word of God. Father God, you call us to this place, and we give you thanks for the ability to gather here this morning. But we also recognize that there are many in our nation this morning who cannot gather other places of worship, that they're hunkered down in places that are dry, attempts to save not just life but property. And Father, we lift up those that are in the paths of these hurricanes. Father, we do not know what the days and weeks will hold, but we know that you are calling us to help and serve. Father God, we lift those up this morning that are in this wrath of destruction. And Father, we also lift up the opportunity to serve and honor you through ministering to them. You have called us this place on this day to worship and celebrate and pray. And we come to you as a united body to do this. Father God, we lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus the Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Mighty to Save. Please stand.
Forever on the road of salvation. be seated.
As David mentioned earlier, this Sunday we will ordain John Farnham into the Fellowship of Deacons. But we also have a vision and leadership team focus on this day. You may remember some time ago, maybe about 4 years ago, there was an effort to revise the Constitution and bylaws and to change some of the structures to allow deacons to focus more fully on ministry and spiritual leadership and less on administration. And so through that process, the Vision Leadership Team was born, which is made up of the pastor, the church moderator, and then one representative from each of the administrative teams, as well as the deacons. Those teams decide who will represent them, and then one member is selected by the congregation as a whole to be the member at large who serves for 3 years. And those individuals meet together once a month, and they talk about the long-range hopes and dreams of the church. They deal with immediate needs and help other teams make decisions and develop plans and ministry ideas that will eventually go to the round table for church-wide discussion and approval. And so we believe that it's important for that team not to simply exist and do the important work of leadership, but for them to be prayerfully commissioned by the church. So this time, if you're on the vision and leadership team, I want to invite you to come and stand together right here. Some of them are away today, but if they will come, they're a timid group, but they're coming. They're going to stand right here, and I'll stand with them. And our chairman of deacons, Ethan Lindsay, is going to lead us in this time of commission and prayer. Ethan, would you come?
Good morning. I'll read the charge to the team, and you simply will respond. The vision and leadership team's name itself reveals its purpose. You're charged with the task of leading this congregation and thoughtfully following God's direction. Do you promise to faithfully and humbly set yourself fully to this task, to listen to the membership as the Holy Spirit speaks through them, and to allow the Word of God to be your final authority in all that you seek to accomplish? We do. All right. I'll now ask you to join me in prayer as we pray for the vision and leadership team. Dear God, we pray for wisdom and spiritual understanding for the leadership team of First Baptist Church of Elon as they define the mission and vision of the church. We pray that each ministry of the church would do its own special work so that the whole body will be healthy and growing and full of love. We pray that the vision and mission of First Baptist Church of Elon would cause it to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. We pray that the vision and mission of the church would help people to understand what the Lord wants us to do. We pray that the work of the church will continue until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. We pray that the church will keep working toward that day when it will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved us for and wants us to be. We pray that God will give our church a complete understanding of what God wants to do in each person's life, and that God will make each person wise with spiritual understanding. We pray that the church would not be led astray by empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world, and not from Christ. We pray that the humility of the church would bring honor to God. Lord, we consecrate ourselves, our resources for your reasonable service. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
pray. Heavenly Father, our souls and our minds need refreshing. So we come to worship you this morning. Thank you for the light of your word. Thank you for being the true provider of all good things. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways that we cannot even count them. Because you have blessed us, help us to share in return for your glory. Heavenly Father, help us to so live in the light of eternity. Amen.
Invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Words that are very relevant on a day where we both commission the vision and leadership team and ordain a deacon and recognize all those who are serving the church, that leaders are called in a different way in the body of Christ. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking, for are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be the greatest among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be the first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, and give his life a ransom for many." At this time in our service, we pause in silence, and that silence is for you and for the Lord, to speak with one another. We invite you in that pause to offer any confession that you may need to make, and I will close in prayer. Would you bow with me? Oh God, give me is so often the song of our hearts. We want what we want. We want so many things that have little or nothing to do with your kingdom and your ways. We want control. We want things to go the way we want them to go. And so therefore we crave power, power to make things happen, power to be in charge, power to pave the way, even if it means plowing through others to get there. Give me. It creeps in the back of our minds and deep in our hearts. And even though we may never admit it out loud, God, we just think we know better than everyone else. Crush that in us. We know you crush it with your forgiveness, crush it with your love, crush it with your mercy, and crush it with another way, a better way to be. So that we who lead, any of us who lead in any way, might not be tyrants, but servants. Make us slaves to an overwhelming desire to, if we outdo one another in anything, outdo one another in love and mercy and sacrifice. Make us foot washers, Lord, who are willing to clean the dirt from between the toes of the least of these and say, thank you, God, while we do it. And with that servant heart, we turn to you, Lord, that renewed heart, that new creation heart, we turn to you, and Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see those who are hungry and thirsty, hearts of compassion for those who are strangers among us, those who are naked and afraid, compassionate minds for those who are sick and struggling right now at this very moment. And wisdom and commitment to believe in your word, every bit of it, from the parts where you say, give to anyone who asks, to the parts where you say, look after the widow and the orphan, to the parts where you say, to welcome the immigrant in your midst, to the parts where you say, there is neither Greek nor Jew, male, female, slave, free, black, white, to believe the parts where Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Because God, we believe that in doing so, we will see the kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We're so excited today to welcome into the Deacon Fellowship John Farnham. And this is a day where, John, we collectively say to you, what were you thinking? By saying yes. We all cherish our deacons, and some of my fondest memories in church are of the very first deacons I worked with, and I often share this on ordination Sundays. But small country church of just about 25 folk. I was the chaplain for the Boys and Girls Homes of North Carolina at the time, and this was a part-time pastoral position, a bivocational ministry, and they had just three deacons in the church. And my first year, my first few months there, we had a baptism scheduled. Someone had accepted Christ and become a disciple, and it was late Saturday night, and my parsonage was right across the street from the church, and I could see lights on and cars up there, and it was getting kind of late, and I decided, well, I'd walk over and see what they're up to. It was deacons. Anytime there is like a secret late night deacon meeting, pastors get nervous. And so I went over there, and there they were, the three of them, standing there, scratching their heads, looking very concerned. And I said, what's the problem, fellas? And they said, well, it's been so long since we had a baptism, none of us can remember how to fill the thing up. They knew that there was some lever somewhere that you had to turn so that when you put water in the tub, it wouldn't just run down the drain. And then the next morning, I came over, and they had figured it out. And so there was water. I said, so you guys solved the problem. Did you find the lever? No, we could never figure out where it was. Well, how did you keep the water in? Well, we put one of those bathtub stoppers in there and filled it up. And I said, oh, well, how are you going to get the water out? Oh. We didn't think about that. These poor fellas had to draw straws to decide which one of these elderly deacons was going to dive into the pool and pull the plug. Deacons, I love you. I love the things you're willing to do, the commitments you're willing to make, the sacrifices, and those late night wet opportunities that no one will really ever know about unless you have a loudmouth pastor like me. I want us to look today, just briefly, before we ordain John, at a powerful example of a deacon from the New Testament, the book of Romans, or Paul's letters to the church in Rome, where Paul very just briefly mentions a deacon named Phoebe. We want to look at that together because I think she serves as the perfect model of a good deacon. We begin in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, and we'll read all the way through chapter 16, verse 2. And Paul writes, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in earnest prayer to God on my behalf, that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my ministry to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. The God of peace be with all of you. Amen. Now, Paul is writing to them because he cannot get there. He is hindered from being present with them. So he does the next best thing. He sends someone he trusts deeply, a deacon named Phoebe. He writes this letter, and we believe it's Phoebe herself who carries the letter to the church in Rome to present this. And here's what he has to say, just two lines about Phoebe. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon from the church of Cenchrea, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. We're not told very much there about this dear woman, Phoebe. Just two lines she's mentioned. We're not told any acts of power that she performed or what her ministry style was in the church there where she was a part of or how she was a benefactor to Paul. We don't get her stories, just a mention of her and that Paul has sent her on his behalf to the church of Rome. But what we are told speaks volume about what it means to be a deacon in the church. And I share this for two purposes. Number one, that all who are ordained as deacons might be challenged by her example. And two, that we who are members of the church would know how to hold our deacons accountable to an immense responsibility. The first thing we know about Phoebe, and take notes, John, is that she is sister. Sister. That's a familiar title, isn't it? We often in the church call each other brother and sister because the first thing to know about her is she is someone that is connected to people beyond genetics into the spiritual relationship. She is the spiritual sister of Paul, the spiritual sister of all in the Church of Rome, and the spiritual sister even to this day to you and to me. To be a deacon is to be family, to treat others like your mom and your dad and your grandma and your grandpa and your uncle and your aunt and your brother and your sister. She's not a tyrant. In fact, it's said that Paul clearly states that she might need something from you. Help her in any way that she needs. I think too often we look to our leaders to be self-sufficient, self-made man, self-made woman, who doesn't need anything from anyone. But Paul reveals that Phoebe is a person who knows her limitations and is willing to ask for help. Deacons have to ask for help. And those of us who are not deacons have to be willing to give it, to share with whatever we have. We know also as we look in these verses that she partnered with Paul. Paul is in the Acts church, in the New Testament church, is essentially the minister. He is the pastor of many. And so Phoebe reminds us that deacons are called to work with the pastor. Pastors are called to work with the deacons. We are in it together. We are in it together. Deacons, whatever you need, I am willing to help you with. From the little to the small, though I may not dive in the baptismal pool to pull the plug. But whatever you need, we're willing to partner with you as well. That's true for me. It's true of Gay. It's true of David. We are here for you. You also have to acknowledge that Phoebe was obviously a person whose lifestyle and personality garnered deep, high respect. Paul respected Phoebe. And obviously the people of her church respected Phoebe, or they would not have appointed her and ordained her as deacon. And so deacons are reminded in Phoebe's example how important it is to live in a respectful way, the way we speak, the language that you use, the people you choose to associate with, the way you seek to be entertained, that all of this demands a level of respectability. And that respectability obviously bred trust. Paul clearly trusted Phoebe with an important task, an incredible task, to bear his letter to the Roman church, which we read together as today it is scripture, the word of God for the people of God. Without a servant like Phoebe, we are lost. Trusted with incredible tasks. You trust your deacons to be there for you in the hospital room. You trust them to, when you offer a prayer request or a prayer need to them, you trust that they are going to take that seriously and actually pray over it and get others to join in that prayer. We trust our deacons to offer spiritual leadership for the direction of the church. We trust our deacons to serve in other ways beyond just the deacon team. Phoebe tells us a lot more than we thought about what it means to be a servant. And so as we come to a time of ordination, as we come to lay hands on a brother of ours who is respectable and trusted, who is willing to ask for help when he needs it and give help when it is needed, a brother who will work with the ministers of the church, let us hold John and all our deacons accountable to this powerful example in Phoebe. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pause and ask that as we transition in worship to an act of worship that means great responsibility is laid upon someone's shoulders. More than anything, we ask that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, speak to all of us through this act of obedience. In Christ's name, amen. John, we invite you to come forward. And I brought you a nice, comfortable pillow to kneel on right there. But before you do that, I want to offer to you, John, the symbol of the ministry of deacon is the tau. Because the very word deacon means waiter. Literally, it means through the dust. Because you are to be working up such a storm serving the needs of others that as the doors to the kitchen fly open and close, you're kicking up dust. You are coming through the dust to serve and to wash the feet of the people. So we offer you this symbol of the ministry of deacon to hang on to that. And that's the nicest looking towel I've ever given out. Usually they're ratty, but it is used. It is used. It comes from the kitchen because it reminds you that you are called to be the waiter to the needs of the people. Would you kneel? And at this time, as you kneel, I want to face the congregation and kneel. I want to invite, we do this in two acts. One involves all ordained deacons. If you're an ordained deacon or an ordained minister, I want to invite you to come forward. Whether you're an active deacon or not, we're asking all who have been ordained as deacons to come and just lay a hand on John and join me in the prayer of ordination. Would you come? And if you can't reach John, reach somebody who's reaching John. The scriptures tell us that the apostles laid hands on those first deacons and that this ministry of the Holy Spirit is passed on. And we are enacting physically, outwardly, something that is inward and spiritual. Would you join me in praying? Almighty God, lay your hand upon the life of John Farnham as you call him into service as a deacon. We pray, Lord, that you would challenge him in all ways to be faithful in that calling, to be faithful in his ministry, to be ever present to the needs of your people, the church, that you would give him boldness, mercy, grace, and compassion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Deacons, you may be seated. Would you come right here? For this new deacon, we have a two-point charge. One is a charge to you, John, and one is a charge to you, the congregation. And I invite you to follow along. It is printed inside your bulletin. John, do you promise to strive to live your life that you may honor Christ, and do you promise in the presence of God and this body of believers to accept the responsibility of deacon in this church and to the best of your ability to put your faith to work as a servant of Jesus Christ?
I do.
And to you, the congregation, do you, the members of First Baptist Church, acknowledge John Farnham as a deacon in this church? Do you promise to encourage and pray for him in his ministry and cooperate with him in the fulfillment of the mission of this church? If you do, will you so indicate by rising? I'm going to invite you to stay standing as we have a belief in this church, something we proclaim often. It's printed in our material and bulletin that when we say, who are the ministers of the church? Look around. You are all the ministers of the church. And so we want you to have an opportunity to also lay hands on John Farnham, to come forward as John, will you have a seat in this chair right here? We don't want to make him kneel the entire morning. But as you would come forward, as you feel led, while some music for meditation plays, and simply lay a hand on John's life, offer him a prayer or a word of encouragement, you can come as you feel led. invite you to join together and stand if you're able for our hymn of response. And we extend a special invitation to any who are ordained deacons. If you need a prayer of encouragement, to come forward, and either I or I'm going to ask David as well, if he'd join me here, we'll offer you a prayer if you need that as well. Would you please stand as we sing together?